you'll see that America is still the land of the free.
Welcome to the Voice of Freedom, your national beacon of liberty. Now, here's your Voice of Freedom, Brent Johnson.
Phyllis Schlafly has been a national leader of the conservative movement since the publication of her best-selling 1964 book, A Choice, Not an Echo. She has been a leader of the pro-family movement since 1972, when she started her national volunteer organization, now called the Eagle Forum. She was named one of the 100 most important women of the 20th century by the Ladies' Home Journal. Her monthly newsletter, the Phyllis Schlafly Report, is now in its 41st year. Her syndicated column appears in 100 newspapers. Her radio commentaries are heard daily on 460 stations. And her radio talk show on education called Eagle Forum Live is heard weekly on 45 stations. She served as a member of the Commission on the Bicentennial of the U.S. Constitution, 1985 to 1991, appointed by President Reagan. She has testified before more than 50 congressional and state legislative committees on constitutional, national defense, and family issues. It's my pleasure and distinct honor to welcome to the Global Freedom Report, Phyllis Schlafly.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm so happy to join you.
Oh, and I'm so happy to have you here. It's such a pleasure. Actually, I've been following you, and we've actually interacted. I believe you were on my show, The Voice of Freedom, several years ago. I've been following you since I got involved in helping to expose truth some 20 years ago. And you've been around for decades. I mean, you've been around for so long.
Yeah, a little longer than that. That's right.
Well, that brings me to my first question, because you've seen so much of our society change, social attitudes, morals, and how our government relates to us and vice versa. How would you characterize those changes that you've seen over the past 40, 50 years?
Well, a lot of them are not good. When I grew up, we lived in a land where the average blue-collar worker could have a good job that paid enough that he could buy a car, buy a house, have a full-time homemaker in the home. Families were intact. And now we find that 40% of our babies are born illegitimately. They don't have any fathers in the home. And I think that's maybe the biggest social disaster in our country today.
You served in President Reagan's government. Did you ever have occasion to meet him?
Oh, well, sure, I met him. He's a wonderful guy. I really didn't serve in the government, but what he did was to appoint me to the Commission on the Bicentennial of the Constitution. That was a volunteer commission appointment, and it was a lot of fun. The former Chief Justice Warren Burger was our chairman, and we managed the celebrations for the 200th anniversary of the Constitution.
Well, my question...
I did meet Reagan a number of times. He... Just like you saw him on television, he just was a really great guy.
Well, my question is, how do you compare more recent presidents with Mr. Reagan?
Well, everybody fails by comparison. He just was great, and he was he believed in our country. He believed in the exceptionalism of America, and that anybody could achieve whatever they wanted to in the land of freedom that we have here. And it's just a great tragedy to think that we're on the road to European-style socialism under President Obama. He apparently doesn't believe that there's something unique and great about America. He thinks we're just one in the list of 150 nations in the UN, and he'd like to be a citizen of the world.
There are a couple of quotes I'd like to read first before my next question. From Lenin, "Give me your four-year-olds and in a generation I will build a socialist state." And from G. Brock Chisholm, co-founder of the World Federation of Mental Health, "To achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family traditions, national patriotism, and religious dogmas." The communists appear to have had it correct. The American family unit, once the backbone of our society, appears to have completely fallen apart, or has it? What has family come to mean, in modern American society, and how are changes in attitudes towards family reflective of the current state of affairs in our country?
Well, I think that's a very important statement that you read. And, of course, the people who don't like our country want to break up the family because the family is a bulwark against dictatorship, against socialist control. And it is most unfortunate that a lot of young people are not getting married. We have attacks on the marriage institution by a lot of different groups. I've been fighting the feminists for many years, and they are very anti-marriage. They want women to be independent of men. They want to get all the women in the workforce and get the men out of the home, and to get the kids in daycare so they don't have to be responsible for raising them. And there are just a lot of enemies of the institution of marriage and the family, and it's extremely unfortunate.
Well, I think it has a ripple effect that many people don't even recognize because they become so numbed out to it. But I get stories all the time. I just got a story where some state officials just literally kidnapped a newborn from a hospital in New Hampshire because the father they found was associated with the group Oath Keepers. And what strikes me is there was a time in our history if someone, even someone from the government, tried to take a child from a family, they wouldn't get away with it. I mean, you know, the parents, the siblings, they all gather around and say, you will not do this. I mean, there was a time where you'd be met at the gate to your property. They'd be met with a shotgun. Get off my property. But today, it seems like all you have to do is waive a legal writ or have a policeman there. And it seems like people don't value the idea of family anymore. There are other things more important. We got to go traveling. We got to go, you know, have that lifestyle that we're told we're entitled to. And so what can we do to restore a high regard for the family unit to the American people?
Well, you have to realize that there are groups and propaganda and media who've been working against the family. And what they do, some of it by slogans and by language. One of the slogans is the village should raise the child. Now, village is a euphemism for government. And they want to tell you that the government is better able to make these decisions. So you have decisions made by the schools, by counselors, by family court, by child protective services. And they think they can decide what is the best interest of the child. And that is an expression that for centuries meant the parent decided what was in the best interest of the child. But now they want some government functionary or social science expert to do that instead. And I think we need to reject it on every front. So that's one of the things we work on in Eagle Forum. I would ask your listeners to go to my website, eagleforum.org. They can look under topics, and they can look for fathers and family and feminism, and they can read a lot of important information on this topic that is not normally in the mainstream press.
What kind of messages, what kind of techniques do you use or do you recommend? Because honest to God, I am at my wit's end on this. How do you get – to me, it's obvious. To me and to you, it's obvious that the family unit, without it, everything else falls apart. So I don't mean to belabor this, but it is such an important point. I'm really at my wit's end, and I'm kind of a smart guy. What do you do to even start the process of changing the way people are looking at the family?
Well, I don't know that it's people. It's certain pressure groups that are promoting their own goal. And the older I get, the more I think follow the money explains a great deal. We have all kinds of built-in financial incentives that the government is using really to break up the family, to oppose marriage, and to promote illegitimacy. And most of the social ills of our time come out of these fatherless homes. The father is absolutely essential to be a role model and disciplinarian and a guide for his children, both boys and girls. And there are just all kinds of ways they've removed it. And one of the ways is by channeling the money just to the woman. So that makes the husband and father irrelevant. And that is mostly unfortunate.
And that really is.
And fathers are needed.
And please understand, I have the greatest respect for women. I am by no definition of the term any kind of a sexist. I believe women are as capable as men in just about everything and more so in many things. But I also believe that there are certain gender roles, if you will, that have proven to create a healthy, happy, free society. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything...
Well, you are right, but that's contrary to what is taught in all these women's studies classes in the universities. They're teaching them that that gender is a social construct. It's not something innate. And that's extremely unfortunate because God did make us different, men and women, and they have a different function. And
absolutely. I remember an old Burger King commercial about 20 years ago, and it showed it was a Russian theater of some kind, and there was a walkway, and it showed a very fat, very unattractive woman in a gray sack walking out while a voiceover spoke as if it was a model. You know, here's Olga, whatever. And she'd walk out like she was a model and she'd go away. And they'd announce another person and the exact same person would come out and walk back and forth. They did this 3 or 4 times. And then they said, Burger King, at Burger King, you can have it your way. And that was the whole idea there that, you know, the individual versus the social. It seems like the American people have gotten very much into that old paradigm of the Russians to have everything be the same. We want everyone to be the same because it's fair. I think it's really unfortunate. Let me switch gears with you for a moment. You're an attorney, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you've testified before numerous legislative committees concerning constitutional issues. Would you comment on the apparent and total disregard by government of the Constitution by government officials today?
Well, yes, and of course there are lawsuits right now at the present time against Obamacare because what it does is to require individuals to buy a product, whether you want it or not. And I don't know, it's just like suppose the government said you all have to buy a certain model of a General Motors car. I think people would understand that that's not according to the Constitution, that's not a function of government. But in Obamacare, they're saying you have to buy a certain type of health insurance, the terms of which are dictated by the government. So that's one of the ways. The whole interference with education is outside of anything that the Constitution authorizes. The federal government has no business telling us what our children should learn in school.
Well,
and that's a matter for parents and local school boards.
Well, now you and I agree, and I'm somewhat studied on this. I've done some research and kept my nose buried in law books for many years, even though I'm not an attorney. But the courts seem to be pretty much looking for legal justifications to go along with the unconstitutional and non-constitutional activities of our government. So
well, that's why I call them supremacists. They think they're supreme over everybody else. That's the title of my latest book, The Supremacists, The Tyranny of Judges and How to Stop It. And I show how they have deviated from constitutional norms and decided that they would impose their own views on the American people. And again, I have made that book available on my website free. You can download it chapter by chapter, and I urge people to have house meetings and discuss the different types of cases and what the judges have done to really take over the government. You can have one meeting on the religion cases and one on the property rights cases and one on the immigration cases and one on the election cases and so forth. And we need an informed electorate about how the judges have tried to make themselves into the most important branch of government.
And that website is www.eagleforum.org. Eagleforum.org.
Right.
But Phyllis, that raises the whole issue. Now, you're an attorney. Tell me, What is possible? Basically, you've got these judges that are turning us into a judicial oligarchy of sorts. And the judges themselves are violating the Constitution, which in my mind makes their rulings invalid. But, I mean, there's a whole domino effect to all of this. How do we stop it? How do we throw a monkey wrench into this massive corruption of our constitutional system?
Well, we need an informed electorate. And unfortunately, we now got a whole generation of people who went through the public schools and didn't learn much about our great country. And so they don't even realize what their kids aren't learning. I started out in the conservative movement in the 1950s and 60s. We had study groups on communism. And when Ronald Reagan said Russia was the evil empire, we knew he was right because we had studied the Congressional Committee report. But I find that the average American really doesn't know a whole lot about our government and how it ought to operate. And that's why I do urge these House meetings so people can be informed, and then they know how to raise Cain with their representatives when they don't do the right thing.
Well, you know, your response there is a perfect lead-in to my final question for you. Many of the staunchest defenders of our Constitution are aging. Helen Thomas is gone from the White House press corps after half a century for saying the wrong thing. You have been involved in education and politics for almost as long. We're losing many of those who understand the Constitution and the rule of law just through simple attrition. My question is, do you think the younger generation will pick up the mantle of defense for our constitutional and personal freedoms, or have we lost them to the incessant bombardment of video games and technological toys?
Well, I think that we can be encouraged by the Tea Parties and by the people who've come out for all of these rallies. I think even though a lot of the population is not well informed, they know enough to know that they don't like the direction we're going. And I hope they're going to be inspired enough to really get themselves informed. And there are a lot of good sources for that. I urge them to read the material on my website and my book. I write in a method that anybody can understand. It's not too academic.
What is the name of that latest book of yours?
The Supremacist. And that's about the judges who think they're supreme over everybody else.
Now, can you tell us this much? In your book, do you have any recommended solutions to that particular problem?
Yes, I do. And you know, the Constitution did not make the judges the most powerful branch of government. The Constitution made the judges the least powerful. And Congress does have the authority to limit the jurisdiction of what they can deal with. And I think, for example, that Congress ought to stop by saying the court cannot hear any cases about the Pledge of Allegiance and the Ten Commandments. We like the Pledge of Allegiance the way it is. And we don't want some judge saying we're doing something unconstitutional if we include the words under God in it.
Now, wait a moment. I do know what you're saying to be true, that the Congress has the authority, you know, over the power of courts, but does that actually extend to simple content? Can it be that easy? Can Congress actually come out and say the courts are not authorized to address matters involving this or that?
Well, like the Congress cannot tell a court how to rule, but it can say what areas you can't stick your noses into. And I, for starters, I would say take off the plate for them the Pledge of Allegiance, the Ten Commandments, the definition of marriage, and the Boy Scouts. Those will be some good things to start with.
Judges stay
out of those areas.
Now, hang on. Let's just take this to the logical next step. Let's say it's just happened. Congress has somehow or other agreed, both houses, the president has signed it, the law is now in place that says that the courts can't address any one of those issues you mentioned. And somebody files a lawsuit with the Supreme Court. What would happen with this?
The court will have to dismiss the case. And if a judge does something that is outside of his jurisdiction, he can be personally liable for that.
Now, what if the Supreme
They don't want, you know, they're afraid of that. The judge would have to dismiss the case.
So you don't think the Supreme Court would come back and say Congress can't do what it just did for whatever reason?
No, I don't, because Congress has many times limited the jurisdiction. And as a matter of fact, the withdrawal of jurisdiction about the Pledge of Allegiance did pass the U.S. House. It was stopped in the Senate.
Do you think there will ever be, at least in our lifetimes, a conflict, direct conflict, between the Supreme Court and the legislature?
I don't know whether it will or not. There are ways of, there are things we can do, and I think we ought to be very careful of what judges are confirmed. I would hope that, especially if the Republicans take the Senate in November, that they won't confirm any more of Obama's judges. Putting Elena Kagan on the Supreme Court, the most left-wing judge we've ever had.
Oh, God. Yes. I don't get me started with her. Our guest has been Phyllis Schlafly, and you need to check out, I have not seen the book myself, but I have no doubt you need to check it out, The Supremacists. And go to her website, check the whole thing out, because this is a woman who you really want to know what she has to say. www.eagleforum.org, eagleforum.org. Phyllis, thank you, and God bless you for continuing for so long to do what you are doing to help bring some kind of truth and education and freedom to the American people.
And we need everybody this year.
May you continue for another 40 years.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for spending this time with us. Phyllis Schlafly, Eagle Forum, www.eagleforum.org. Thanks so much, and please take good care of yourself. We need you around, Phyllis.
Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Voice of Freedom. Opinions expressed are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views of Truth and Freedom Radio Networks, Freedom Broadcast Group, Incorporated, or our sponsors. For more information about your freedoms and liberties, or to contact Brent, just log on to our website at www.freedomradio.us or call 1-888-385-3733. Join us next time for another lesson in liberty on The Voice of Freedom.
America, land of the free, right to life and liberty. Open your eyes and you will see that America is still the land of the free.